This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahi wa barakatuh.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya 'ala s-salah. Hayya 'ala s-salah.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله عز وجل وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him. We seek His aid and we ask for His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evils of ourselves and the evil consequences of our own actions. Whomsoever Allah guides, none can lead astray. And whomsoever Allah leaves to go astray, none can guide. I bear witness, I testify, that none has the right to be worshipped but Allah alone, who has no partners. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is his servant, is his slave, and his messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as he should be feared, and die not except in a state of submission and Islam to your Lord. O mankind, be dutiful to your Lord, who created you from a single person, and from him he created his wife, and from them both he created many men and women. And fear Allah through whom you demand your mutual rights, and observe the rights of your kins. Surely Allah is ever and all watcher over you. O you who believe, keep your duty to Allah. Keep your covenant with Allah. Fear Him and speak the truth. He will direct you to righteous deeds and will forgive you your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has indeed attained a great achievement. The best words are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the best guidance and way of life is that of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And the worst thing in the religion are the newly invented, fabricated matters. Because all of these matters are innovation and bid'ah. And every bid'ah is considered to be misguidance and it leads to the hellfire. Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu, the great companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and a great role model for each one of us. He had a cousin called Mistah ibn Athatha. Mistah was a very poor person. Whereas Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu, Allah blessed him with so much wealth. Allah blessed his wealth and his possessions. And Allah showered him with his mercy. So Abu Bakr used to provide for his cousin, Mistah ibn Athatha. He used to support him financially. He used to look after him, check on him, make sure that all his needs are met. And this was for quite a while, for a long time. And one day when the slander started spreading against the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Aisha radiyallahu anha, the false accusation against her, the slander started being was spread around by ill hearts and sick people in the community. One of the Muslims who got involved in this, who were trapped in this, who fell in this pitfall. So he spread the news somehow, thinking it was just news. So he was passing it on. It was Mistah ibn Athatha himself. Mistah ibn Athatha himself passed on the news to others. So he got involved in this, probably with good intention. But that was the honor of his relative, Aisha radiallahu anha, the daughter of Abu Bakr, who was providing for him. So when the whole matter was cleared by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, and Aisha radiallahu anha was cleared, and everyone knew the truth about this, and the people who got involved in this slander were exposed, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu became angry. Because it was his daughter that was slandered. And it was his cousin that was involved in this slander, Mistah ibn Athatha. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, Wallahi, I will not support him from this moment on. I will not support him. I will not help him. I've been helping him for years and years and years. And now without any proof, without any evidence, without any clear clue, he spreads a lie against my wife. And what a vicious, or about my daughter, and what a vicious lie against my daughter and the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was angry. So he said, I will not support him anymore. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals a verse from the Quran to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after the issue was cleared. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا يَأْتَلِ أُولُو الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ وَالسَّعَةِ أن يؤتوا أولي القربى والمساكين والمهاجرين في سبيل الله وليعفوا وليصفحوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends a verse, and the meaning of the verse says, let those people who have been blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those people who have a history of generosity and giving and kindness, Let them not refrain from it. Let them not hold it back. And let them support the weaker ones, the poor ones, the needy ones among the Muslims. Let them still support them. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا وَلَّتْ them forgive. Let them pardon. Let them turn a blind eye to the blunders of others. وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Don't you love that Allah forgives you? Don't you love that Allah pardons you? Don't you love that Allah frees you from your sins? When Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu heard this verse, he said, Bala ya Rabb, Bala ya Rabb, indeed my Lord, I want you to forgive me and pardon me. And from that moment, he paid an expiation for his oath. Then he broke it and he sent back to Mislah ibn Athatha the monthly or regular support that he used to give him previously. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is teaching us a beautiful principle that he learned from his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's about forgiveness. That's about al-afu wa-safh. About al-afu wa-safh. About forgiveness. And we know one of the greatest names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that He is al-afu. He is al-afu. He is the one who pardons. He is the one who forgives. Al-afu wal-ghafoor. The one who forgives our sins and clears them. He pardons us. He forgives us. And that's His name. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that verse that Abu Bakr responded to, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making it clear that if you treat the creation of Allah with forgiveness, Allah will treat you with forgiveness. If you forgive them, Allah will forgive you. And how you treat the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will treat you. And that's something we should keep in our minds all the time. And the Prophet ﷺ made that principle clear in so many hadith when he said, Ar-Rahimuna yarhamuhum ar-Rahman. The ones that are merciful to the creation, Allah will be merciful to them. So if you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you want your creator to treat you in a certain way, treat his creation in that way, and Allah will respond to you. Allah will respond to you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was teaching his people, trying to warn them, telling them that the religion that you guys were upon is an invented religion. It was created and fabricated by human beings. It has some of the remains of the religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam, but it was twisted and changed and distorted. The core of it was completely changed. Instead of worshipping your creator alone, loving him, devoting your life for him, you started to devote your life to some creation, to some stones, to some piers, to some graves, to some great personalities, to money and wealth and status. He said, come back to your Lord, because this life is not the end. There is a hereafter, there is a paradise, and there is the hellfire. You need to get ready for that next life. And this life is but a test. But these people opposed him, persecuted him, attacked him physically, mentally. They tried to slander him, create lies about him, spread rumors about him, challenge him in every way possible. Yet the Prophet ﷺ, after they harmed him physically, and they injured him, they cut his cheek, and they broke his teeth, and he was injured in the battle, and he was angry, and he was about to make a dua, then he said, Allahumma اغفر لقومي فإنهم لا يعلمون. Oh Allah, forgive my people. Forgive them. Forgive them because they don't know the gravity of what they are doing. They don't know the real consequences of what they are, of the way they're dealing with me. Oh Allah, forgive them. Oh Allah, forgive them. And one opportunity that we all know about, when Allah sent the angel of the mountains with Jibreel alayhi salam, after the Prophet ﷺ was hurt by his people severely, and he said, if you wish, you can command the angel that is in charge of the mountains to make the mountains collapse on them. The Prophet ﷺ said, no. He said, no, that I wish Allah will bring from their descendants people who would worship Allah and be saved from the hellfire. One day the people of Quraysh, one of their challenges to the Prophet ﷺ, they said to him, if you can call upon your Lord and he turns the mount of As-Safa, the small mount of As-Safa, If he can turn it into pure gold, we would become Muslims. We would accept your message and we would follow you. So the Prophet ﷺ made the dua, Allah sent Jibreel alayhi salam. Jibreel said to the Prophet ﷺ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to you, if you want, I can turn that mount into pure gold. But if I do this and they do not believe, I will take them out completely. I will destroy them. That would be the end. The Prophet ﷺ said, no, don't turn it into gold. Don't turn it into gold. Let's give them more time. So the Prophet ﷺ lived his life with a pure heart. With a pure heart. Never held a grudge against people. And this is why he slept peacefully. He slept peacefully. When we talk about forgiveness, we think we're going to give away something that's important. We think we're going to compromise our rights. And we hold on to the grudges. We hold on to the pain. We hold on to the sense of revenge. We want to avenge ourselves. And we think we are doing well. But the hatred, the grudge that you hold against someone will burn only one person, and that's you. And that's you. Because when you hold to a grudge, when you hold to hatred and envy and anger against someone, you are creating or building a furnace in your chest that will burn your heart, burn your soul, and also burn your body. In medicine, doctors will tell you that when you hold on to grudges, you will be destroying your body. Everything you'll have, you'll have high blood pressure, you will have joint pain, your immune system will go down. Everything in your body will start to deteriorate because you're holding to a grudge. We humans are not designed to hold on to anger and pain and a grudge. So every night before you go to sleep, make sure that you free your heart from any envy, from every hate, from every anger, from every grudge you're holding on against any human being. So if you pass away that night, you would pass with peace. And you would be getting so much reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You hold on to it and you are bound to destroy your health. And what's more dangerous than losing your health is losing your iman and losing your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because that grudge, that hate, that anger will eat up your heart and will leave no space, will leave no portion in your heart, no share in your heart for your Creator. Your sole concern would be to avenge yourself and retaliate. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the believers. He says, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْضِ. And they are the ones who suppress their anger. Suppress their anger. The scholars of tafsir, they say, this is the lowest level. The lowest level is that someone angers you. Someone wrongs you. Instead of acting on your anger, you're full of anger. It's boiling within. You hold it back. That's the lowest level. وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْضِ. Then Allah mentions a higher level. وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. And the ones who can forgive people and pardon them. That means clearing their hearts from the grudge. Forgiveness is not a word. Forgiveness is a state of heart. It's a state of mind that you let go of the grudge. You let go of the anger. You free the person. You no longer hold anything against them. That's what it means. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the highest level. So he says, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْضَ. The ones who suppress their anger. وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. And those who forgive others, forgive people. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And Allah loves the ones who do well, the ones who do good. And that's a higher level. And this is why one of the Muslim caliphs in the history of Islam, one of his servants was pouring water on his hands. He got and warmed up the water for him. He heated the water for him in order to help him make wudu. So he was pouring the water and the Khalifa, the leader, was making wudu. So the guy had overheated the water by mistake. So when he poured it, it burnt, it scorched the Khalifa. So he became angry, but the servant was a wise man. He said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, O Chief of the Believers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ, and those who hold back their anger. So the Khalifa said, كَظَمْتُ غَيْظِي, I hold back my anger. I'm not going to act upon it. Then he said, وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ, and the ones who forgive people. So the Khalifa said, I forgive you. Then the servant completed the verse, وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, and Allah loves the ones who do well, the ones who do favors, the one who go out of their way, they go the extra mile, they get out of their way to do something extraordinary. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, Allah loves those ones. So the Khalifa said to him, you are free for the sake of Allah. He was a slave. You are free for the sake of Allah. But I will never say no to the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what our religion teaches us. That's how our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. He himself teaches us. In Sahih Muslim, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, مَا نَقَصَتْ صَدَقَةٌ مِّنْ مَالٍ. A charity when you give out for the sake of Allah, it will never decrease your wealth. It will never. If you try to work it out mathematically, it might not work out for you. But you know Allah will pay you back through ways you never expect. So, any charity will never decrease a wealth. وَمَزْدَادَ عَبْدٌ بِعَفْوٍ إِلَّا عِزَّا. And a servant, when he forgives, when he pardons, he will only be increased with more honor and more dignity and more status. That's a promise from the Prophet ﷺ. So when you forgive, that's not a sign of weakness. When you pardon, that's not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength. It's a sign of izzah and nobility. And that's what our religion teaches us. But when the scales are altered, things are twisted. We don't understand the truth. We see things not as they really are. This is why Abu Darda radiallahu anhu was asked, مَنْ أَعَزُّ النَّاسِ, who's the one that's most noble and honorable among humans? Who is he? He said, he is the one. He is the person who has the power and the ability to avenge himself, but he forgives. But he forgives. مَنْ عَفَى عَنْ قُدْرَةً. This is why the Prophet ﷺ, when he conquered Mecca, these people had persecuted him for so many years, killed his companions, fought against him for about 8 years. The Prophet ﷺ, when he had them in his hand, and he conquered Mecca and had power over it, he said, what do you think I'm going to do with you? They said, a noble man and the son of a noble man. He said, اذهبوا فأنتم الطلقاء. You are free. You are free to go. After everything, after all these crimes, all this murder, all this conspiring, and all these plots against the Muslims, after all of this, yes, اذهبوا فأنتم الطلقاء. You are free to go. That's it. That's it. And no one can forgive except for a noble soul. Except for a noble soul, especially when the person has the power. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala advises us to forgive. When Allah mentions the trials and the tests of this life, Allah says that our wealth is a trial and a test for us. Our children and our families are a test for us because there's a lot of responsibilities. There's a lot of things that you don't expect that happen to you. You might face ungratefulness from your family, from your children. You might invest so much, but you never get back. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن تَعْفُوا وَتَصْفَحُوا وَتَغْفِرُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. And if you forgive and pardon, Allah is all forgiving. Allah forgives and Allah pardons. So keep that in your mind. أَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد. The great companion Abu Dharr رضي الله عنه, he had a servant. He had one of his own children. Either his child or another young servant. And he was supposed to look after his sheep and after his horses. So one day, the kind of hay that was presented to the horses was very expensive. So they won't give it to the sheep. They won't give it, they won't offer it to the sheep. They would only offer it to the horses. So the young boy, or the young man, took that expensive hay and he offered it to the sheep. And it consumed it. And that was a huge amount of money, a great asset. So Abu Dharr came to him and he said, why did you offer that hay that belongs, that's supposed to be offered only to the horse, why did you offer it to the sheep? He said, in Arabic, أَرَدْتُ أَنْ أُغِيظَكْ. I wanted to anger you, I wanted to enrage you. He had an issue. I wanted you to get angry, that's it. I want to get at your nerves. That's it. I want to push your buttons today. So Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu said to him, وَاللَّهِ لَا أَجْمَعُ إِلَىٰ غَيْضٍ إِلَّا عَفْوَىٰ. Basically, he was a slave. He was a young slave. He was a young slave. In those times, there was slavery. So he said, wallahi, I will not combine to my anger. The only thing I could combine with my anger is forgiveness. You are free for the sake of Allah. Go. I don't want anything from you. You are free. You are freed. Go and live as a free man. That's how they used to be. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, being the Khalifa, the leader of the Muslim government at the time, walking the streets, checking out on people, someone bumped into him by mistake. And there were some guards walking behind Umar ibn Khattab. So the guy looked at Umar ibn Khattab and he said, أَأَنْتَ حِبَار? You're a donkey, you're stupid. That's what he says to the leader of the Muslim Ummah. You stupid? Umar ibn Aziz turns to him and he says, no, لا أنا عمر. No, I'm not a donkey, I'm not stupid, I'm just Umar. Then he walks on. So the guards want to take the man. Umar al-Khattab says, سَأَلَنِي سُؤَالًا فَأَجَبْتُهُ. He asked me a question and I answered him. Let him go. These people would not hold a grudge. They would not hold a pain. Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala, he was tried, he was slandered. People spoke ill about him, especially towards the end of his life. So someone came to him and he said, so-and-so is actually speaking bad about you. He's saying so many bad things about you. Imam al-Bukhari looks at him and he says, إِنَّ كَيْدَ الشَّيْطَانِ كَانَ ضَعِيفًا. The plotting of shaitan is weak. What does he mean? That you're not going to bring hatred between me and my brother. Another one of the imams, someone came to him and he said, you know, so-and-so is actually saying bad things about you. He's saying this and he's saying that. Then he said to him, he looked at him and he said, عَبْدٌ صَالِحٌ ابْتُلِيَ فِينَا. He said, he's a righteous man, but his trial, his test, was to see me in bad terms, in a negative light. May Allah forgive him. These people, they didn't have time for this. They didn't have time for them. Al-Rabi' ibn Khuthaym, one of the greatest among the tabi'een, someone saw him in the streets, he started heaping abuse on him, swearing at him, using very bad language, speaking at him. The man kept chasing him and just swearing at him. And he ignored him, kept walking. The guy kept chasing him and swearing at him. Al-Rabi' ibn Khuthaym turns to him and he says, you know, listen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has heard what you said. I heard what you said. Then he said, إِنَّ أَمَامَنَا عَقَبَةً كَأُودَ. In front of us is such a difficult way. وَإِنَّ آخِرَتَهَا إِمَّا إِلَى جَنَّةٌ وَإِمَّا إِلَى نَارٌ. And then after that hard, difficult way, there's either paradise or hellfire. So if I'm going to paradise, if I'm going to make it to paradise, what you say is not going to harm me. But if I'm going to the hellfire, I am worse than what you describe. So I don't care. I just don't care. So say whatever you want to say. These people lived in peace. So for us as Muslims, who are supposed to hold on to the spirit and the beauty of Islam, and to make what we're talking about practical, every day before you go to sleep, that would be a very good time. Make sure that you clear your heart from every hatred and every anger. Forgive every person. Make it a point to search for a person who angered you, enraged you in your life, and you still hold a grudge, even if it's not something that usually pops up in your head, but you remember it from time to time. So make it a point to remember a person who really wronged you and you still hold on to that grudge. And say, today, I will forgive that person. I'll forgive them from my heart. I'll just free them. I'll set them free. I'll get that memory, that recollection, I'll get it out of my heart for the rest of my life. And I will forgive that person forever. I will hold nothing against that person. I will let them go for the sake of Allah. Because I want Allah to look at me with an eye of mercy and forgive me. That's something we Muslims are supposed to hold on to, because you will experience a level of freedom probably you've never felt before. You'll forgive, Allah will forgive you. Allah will forgive you. And so many things will start changing. There is something I want to remind you as well about our masjid here, alhamdulillah. And jazakumullah khairan for the support and the help that was during last year. So alhamdulillah, the management of the masjid and the board of trustees, they managed to get the payment that was meant to be by the end of the year. And alhamdulillah, so it's actually in the process of being paid off. But I need to remind you that that's not the end. That's not the end. In order to keep doing the work that we do, in order to expand it as well, we still need your support. So what I want to do is that just put you in perspective, just give you some numbers, show you where we are today. Now we have two payments left. We have two payments left. One at the end of this year, 2017, and that will be 1.5 million. Then we have another payment, and that would be the final payment of 1.34 million. And that's December 31st, 2018. So that's what we need to pay off in order to get, you know, the building next door. But there's another point. A lot of people, jazakumullah khair, have ventured and gave the masjid qardun hasan, which is a loan without interest. That's a great contribution, we appreciate it. And we want to make it a point that we pay off that debt as well. That Qardul Hasan has reached 1.7 million, by the way. Now they are standing. 1.7. So you need to add this to the whole total as well. You need to add this to the whole total. So what we want from you is to keep your support and keep your help to the masjid with whatever you can. And if you can spread the word around, in order to make sure, inshallah, that towards the end of the year we'll be able to make that payment and that we can pay off as much as possible of the people who have lent the masjid their money. May Allah reward you all for your support. Allahumma aghfir al-mu'minina wal-mu'minat wal-muslimina wal-muslimat al-ahya'i minhum wal-amwat. Allahumma aghfir lana dhunubana wa israfana fi amrina wa thabbit aqdamana wa ansurna ala al-qawm al-kafirin. Allahumma aghfir lana dhunubana. Allahumma aghfir lana wa liwalidina wa liman lahum haqqun alayna. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursalina walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.